No matter what type of need you may have today, with God nothing is impossible. Oh, just to think about it, nothing is impossible. One time he spoke to Abraham. He laughed when God, Sarah laughed in her heart when God spoke of doing the miraculous. Something that seemed impossible to man, yet it was possible with God. Say, shall I have pleasure with my Lord again, seeing I'm old? God spoke of them having a child, and it was so hard for them to believe. But he said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. So let us have faith and believe Him. Let us reach out to that faith and touch Him. He said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Even the strangers and the visitors within our gates. Oh, let's look unto Him and live today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest unto your souls. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Our gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to come in your house again. We are glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. Just to come into your courts and to worship you in the beauty of holiness. To inquire of you in your temple, Lord. Hearing, Lord, the songs of praise being sung in the house of God today. Songs testifying of your love. Testifying of your mercies unto your people. Songs, Lord, have so inspired our hearts. Truly there's a power in praising you, Lord. More and more as the blessings go, the praise go up, we know that blessings come down. We pray that God would rain down in every heart today. There are some, Lord, that is sick and needy. There is some, no doubt, have domestic problems. Some have financial problems. Some, Lord, desire a closer walk with you. Some, Lord, need understanding in your word. Some looking for deliverance, Lord. But, Lord, we know regardless of what the situation is, you said, I am that I am. Whatever your people have need of today, you are that unto them, Lord. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are Jehovah Raha. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Sidniku. Hallelujah. You are Jehovah Shalom. Glory be to God. Jehovah Shammah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh God, we are gathered here and we know where two or three is gathered in your name. There you are in the midst. Hallelujah. Lord God, knowing that this is a special time for your people. This is a special season in your economy, Lord. And Lord, we have these special memories. Hallelujah. Of what you did around this time, Lord, 25 years ago. Lord God, when that dove flew down, Lord, on that mountain top, Lord, hallelujah. Lord God, when you showed your prophet that sign, when that boy said, your enemy is dead. Oh, God, when he saw it rising in that rock, blessed be the name of the Lord. All these symbols have been revealed unto us through your word. And we know it speaks of a great promise. A great message of redemption, a message of grace. Oh God, we are still walking under the leadership of the great Jehovah, that pillar of fire. Hallelujah! Still walking in the light of that message, Lord. We pray, dear God, today as we are gathered in your presence, as we are gathered here in the house of God, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, Lord God, will manifest these things. Lord God, one more time amongst us, that this day will be such a wonderful time for your people, Lord. Oh God, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord God, I pray, Father, that Lord, regardless of what the situation is, and your people standing here, being reminded of Holy Ghost, bringing back things to remembrance. Oh, may that snow white dove fly into the hearts of your children, Lord. May they know of your promise, Lord. May they be quick and may they be inspired. May they be alive to them. May the word of God be quick and sharp and powerful. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I pray, dear God, today there will not be one feeble one in our midst, Lord. Lord God, and your people believe and they praise and they thank you for what you have promised as they take a hold of your word and they go to exercise and defend it, Lord. Oh, God, like your prophet when he saw it on the mountain, he said, I consider not what the doctors tell me as a son of Abraham. Oh, God, I know it's finished, it's ended. Blessed be your name. Let seeds of Abraham, sons and daughters of Abraham, walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. Oh, God, may that same kind of faith fall into their hearts. May, oh, God, another wave of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in the midst of the people, quicken and make alive that promise unto them, Lord. Lord, God, may many move into that faith today. May they move into that inspiration. May they move, oh, God, into that realm. Hallelujah. Lord, oh, God, that these things are not just for a day, Lord God, but since that time, it's alive. Since that time, it's present. Since that time, it's available. Since that time, we can move into these things, Lord. Blessed be your name. And I pray that through the ministry of the word today, many hearts will move into it, Lord, and will accept it, Lord, and rejoice for their deliverance. God, I lay my hands on these requests. Oh, God, Sister Sharon, Lord, how many times, Lord God, should take a time off and minister? Oh, God, even in a vocation as a nurse, Lord God, ministering to the sick and the needy, knowing, oh, God, praying with them, talking with them, Lord, even doctoring them, Lord. God, we know that she's a believer. Lord God, and even this morning, as she's in need of you, I pray you, the great physician, you, the divine healer. Oh, God, Father, seeing her, Lord, in this affliction, Lord God, undergoing this great time of strain and pain, but that dove will fly to our heart today. Oh, God, that dove will come and coo, your troubles are ended. Hallelujah! God, may you remove those fibers, may you take it away, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. May, oh, God, that faith of Abraham be so inspired, be so charged in our heart, that, Lord God, she will go down praising you when she think of your promise. By your stripes she's already healed. Oh, God, let it be today, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Lord God, in both of Fetrick and home with that virus, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ you would touch him, Lord. Oh, God, see that so many who have been afflicted with that virus in this very hour have been delivered. And you are still the same Jesus. And we are still praying the prayer of faith. In my name you shall cast out devils. Hallelujah. We send forth your word to him at his home, Lord. May the quickening power raise him out of that bed of affliction. May the promise be energized in his heart. May virtue flow into his body and may be made well. For the glory of God. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Almighty God, as we are gathered here in your presence today, honoring your resurrection, knowing, oh God, you are risen. You are not dead, but you are alive forevermore. And as the keys of hell and death, I pray, dear God, in your great resurrected presence, oh God, will so fill this place and your word. Hallelujah. Lord God, we go forth, Father, knowing that these sayings are faithful and true. You said, Lord God, because I live, you shall live also. Go tell my disciples, I'm not dead, but I'm alive. I am risen. Lord, that is the good news. Hallelujah. Lord God, may as it is proclaimed today, may as this gospel is preached in your name today. Hallelujah. Lord God, may there be a great deliverance. May there be great salvation sweep out. Oh God, to them who are hungering and thirsting, Lord, who are believing in you, Lord, who are looking unto you for that deliverance. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord God, these promises will become effective. Lord God, it will become alive in the hearts of them that is looking unto you and trusting you today. Let it be, Lord. Even, Lord, in the course of this service, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask these things. Almighty God, knowing, dear God, that in not many more days, we can feel it, Lord. We can see it moving in the signs of the time. We can see how we've been led and been built right up to this place in your word. God, we know he that is filled will be filled still. He that is righteous will be righteous still. We see them slaughtering angels. Lord God, fix it to be loose upon the face of this earth. Wars and rumors of wars. But we know they cannot break forth until that last one is sealed. Until that name of the Lord is written in their foreheads. Until that sealing angel. Oh God, seal them up with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, believing that we are in that time, you have not abandoned your program. You are still working in the line of your word and the line of your spirit, oh God. I pray that, Lord God, you would visit, oh God, Lord, your children, not just here but around the world. Oh God, where there's a hungry in a heart. Oh God, where there's a message angel standing in a church. Oh God, proclaiming this divine revelation, proclaiming this truth, Lord, while Peter yet spake these words. Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard it. I pray, dear God, while that word is being proclaimed. Hallelujah, around this world, Lord. Lord God, you would stand in attendance to minister, to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire, that there would be dynamics full of mechanics. Oh God, you will come as the rain. Hallelujah. Lord, as the former and the latter rain, as you promised you would do, Lord. There would be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the midst of your people. This is your promise. This is your word. And you said, heaven will pass with not one jot or one tittle of my word shall in any wise fail. And yet, God, we know it's impossible for you to lie. And we know we are living in that time. So, Father, I pray that you would just have your way in the midst of your people. And you would get honor and glory. Let the spirit of divine revelation, Lord God, quicken and make the people alive. Wake them up. You said these seven thunders would wake up the bride. Oh, God, you shake them out of that darkness. Shake them out of that slumber, Lord. Arise and shine, the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Oh, my God, let it be, Father. We ask this mercy and blessings in your wonderful and precious name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise his wonderful name. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of 1 Peter and also Revelation chapter 14. 1 Peter 4, Revelation 14. I want to welcome all that's gathered in our gates today, the strangers, the visitors. Wish you blessed day, and may God's blessing be upon you. May he do something special for us today. We long remember this day. And if there is a special need in your heart, may you just draw with faith. Amen. Even now, Lord, even now. Revelation 14. We're going to begin with verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 4. Book of Revelation is a great prophetic book in the Bible. It's understood by many, but hardly does anybody understand it. And it was not going to be understood if it was not for Revelation 10:7 being fulfilled. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. We are so thankful to know that God has sent for that message in this hour. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he will turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. It is misunderstood today, is disbelieved by many, is rejected and despised, but it's still the truth. It's still the truth. teaching them how to believe a rejected message. Noah had to stand with his people with a rejected message. Elijah and them 7,000 had to stand with a rejected message. Is that right? So it's nothing strange for a believer if they know they are believing a rejected message. Because believers in every age have believed a rejected message. He is despised and rejected of men. Revelation 14 verse 6. Verse 1 to 5 was speaking about that 144,000 elect. And here he just brings in verse 6 three angels and said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. But Jesus said, this gospel will preach into all the world, and then will the end come. And that's the same gospel that's being preached here. This same everlasting gospel, not another gospel, is the same message, just in its fullness now. Amen. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of waters. Don't just worship any God. Worship God who is the Creator. Who made the heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now watch the messages of these angels. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, he wasn't worshiping him who made heaven and earth. He was worshiping the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Notice that judgment is upon false worshippers. But that everlasting gospel, when it's been proclaimed, it says, worship Him who created heaven and earth. And they disobey that gospel and they worship someone else. And then when the time of His judgment is being poured out, He poured it upon them that did not obey His gospel. 1 Peter 4, verse 17 and 18. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Notice that's a question. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end of them be? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, you said heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of your word shall in any wise fail. Let every man would be a lie, but let God would be the truth. We have opened this sacred word and we have read out of it. It is your truth. You said that thy word is truth. And Father, knowing that this is the truth, this is the word of God, which we have read, then Lord, judgment must begin at the house of God. And what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What a question that confronts us, Lord. God, we want to obey every word today. Said, don't just be hearers, but be doers. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. For obedience is better than sacrifice. We are living in such an age when men have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. People are so religious, Lord. Ever learning but cannot come to the knowledge of the truth. Seems, Lord, that the word of God is taken so lightly and handled with deceitful hands. But we pray, Father, that this gospel that has been proclaimed unto us, Lord, this everlasting gospel that has been proclaimed into all the earth, showing forth you are the same yesterday and today and forever. Now is about to leave the Gentiles and go back to the Jews. I pray, Father, that we would be counted as true worshippers that worship Him who created the heaven and the earth and the things that are therein. The word that has been ministered unto us, we are conquered worthy to escape. We love you, Lord, with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, with all our strength. And we love one another. May that become so real in every heart that there would cannot be any condemnation. There cannot be any doubt. We can be so filled with the love of God and the presence of God. Because you said your church would be in this condition before she goes. She'd be so sealed with the Spirit of God that the devil will be completely sealed out. He will have no place in us. Make us like that, Father. We open our hearts to you. Speak, Lord. May you get glory in our midst today. We thank you for all things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. Well, we want to welcome everyone in His divine presence. We have a couple of notes of praise here. Brother and Sister Young would like to thank the Lord for delivering them from the virus after prayer was offered. Amen. Glad to see them back in the house of God. Was able to, couldn't be here last week. And you know, there's really a devil that is just moving around. They can call it what they want. They can call it loot. They can call it all kinds of different names. And it's just the devil trying to break down their health and bring a disorder in the body of God's people. But the Bible says, above all things, prosper in health. And God wants us to be healthy and strong because He wants us to serve Him. And if our bodies all ridden with disease and broke, our health is broken down, there's much that we can do to really represent Him, and how He need His people to represent Him in this hour. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit has called out His people and sanctified them and set them aside that He might work in and through them to bring to pass His word. God always done that in every age. He worked through His church, through His body. And, you know, that work is being cut short because the time is being cut short. Except the days do be shortened, there will be no flesh safe. Because we can see it is all kind of pestilences, is wars, is rumors of wars, is sin on every hand, is such darkness upon the face of the earth that, you know, who is able to stand? And with all these things that is rapidly moving in, we are just trusting by the grace of God that every time we come in His presence and we could gather together like this, amen, that we could just be in His presence where we could draw from Him all that we have need of. We could draw from Him. You know, I was just thinking this morning, I said, Lord, you know what, the people, there is so much that the people is needy of. There is so many different needs. The needs are so diverse among the people. But if we could come and just break right through every veil that would try to keep us out of God's presence. Let me tell you, we would be in a place beyond sitting down here in this building. And our heart could be so filled with faith and filled with the presence of God that we could draw from the Holy Spirit, that we could leave this place satisfied. Amen. Satisfied that God, we have touched Him. We have got a hold of Him. And that is the kind of determination we want to come into His presence with, where we can really get a hold of Him. If you know you're feeling weak and you're feeling all burdened down and you have things there and the way seems kind of dark and, you know, maybe the continuity of in your home is being broken up or being disturbed, Satan trying to invade into your home and, you know, bring a disorder. And, you know, you don't have to stand up there and say, well, maybe I have to go through this and I just don't know what to do and all frustrated. If you could break into that place where you know God has given you that home, God has given you that family, that is God-given territory. Amen. But that come like an embassy. For Satan to come within your walls, he's trespassing. He's trespassing and God-given ground. Now you can take the word of God and drive him out. You know, sometimes we fail to catch the word right. We fail to discern the situation properly. And you know, we kind of accept the situation. And we get overcome by it. We get overpowered by it. You know, it takes us so sudden sometimes. We're not able to catch. You know, it is the enemy trying to disturb us. Just when you're trying to bring your family through to the place where they need to be, where you can fellowship and you can strengthen them. Just when God is delivering you out from the condition that you might have been oppressed in, it comes like how it was back in Egypt. The Satan moving back there to take you back into bondage. Amen. Just where God break his hold and drive him out from one place, he's trying to find another place where he can come in. Amen. But he don't have to come in if you don't want him to come in. Amen. And I trust it will be like that. Amen. Amen. I see some of our visitors, they're getting a little disturbed. They're worrying. We're sorry for that. But we can try to get them a better seat. Amen. We are not rich in this world goods, and we just wish we could do better to entertain people when they come in the presence of God. Amen. That's very embarrassing for us. I think it would still be better. Brother Jennings, one of you all, take out the time. It's okay. Just get the gentleman to sit down by his wife, and just it's okay. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Amen. We don't want to cause too much disturbance, but we want the people, especially when they visit, to feel comfortable in the house of God. Amen. If I'm not sure, I think there's a Mr. and Mrs. Morris. I'm told we glad to have them in the house of God. And also, we have another family, brother and sister, Mr. and Mrs. Lopez, friend and sister Louise Williams. The wife is thinking of being baptized, and I was talking to her, asking it'd be good if she could invite her husband, and it'd be good for him to see what she believes and what she's hearing. Because sometimes, you know, people could be very concerned about what the family is becoming involved in, because we don't believe in, we don't believe God is doing nothing in a corner, and God is not doing nothing strange, that we have to kind of hide and do these things. What God is doing is open, and what is going on here is open to public scrutiny, that the public should be able to come in and scrutinize it and examine it and know that if this is something honorable, if this is something pure, or if this is some little Jim Jones cult or some little thing, or if it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the word of God given back unto us by a divine promise and vindicated around the world 7 times. If God vindicated around the world 7 times, we should be ashamed hide it somewhere in a little corner. And if God vindicated it, we don't have to try to defend it. It's already defended. Amen. It's already defended. It's defended by God Himself. All we want to do is be able representatives to proclaim it with the right spirit, that the love of Jesus Christ could be presented, the plan of salvation could be made plain, that people can see that God is still calling, but not for much longer. And this is the hour today, if you would hear His voice, harden not your heart. Amen. And come while He's calling, because we cannot come when we want to come. We have to come when He's calling. Amen. Amen. Many times we put these things off. We kind of, you know, we have our agenda and we don't want to interrupt our agenda. But I want to tell you, God interrupts people's agendas. We may not know that that is scriptural, but the Saul of Tarsus, before he came to St. Paul, he had an agenda. And his agenda was to check out churches, check out religions, and especially new religions kind of raising up. And he would kind of, anything that is not contrary to the state religions or was accepted by the state, his job was to bring them in chains and close them down, throw them in prison. And that was his agenda. But God had another agenda. Amen. And he was to be part of God's agenda. So God had to interrupt his agenda, amen, and let him know his agenda was a minor agenda. The real major agenda was God's agenda. And I think after a while, St. Paul didn't mind that his former agenda was interrupted, because he said, all things work together for the glory of God. God interrupted Moses' agenda one time. Moses was being trained to be the next Pharaoh in Egypt. How many know that's the truth? But God had an agenda for Moses. Moses was to be a shepherd who was going to deliver God's people. And God was going to interrupt Moses' plans for a great public life. You know, a great life connected to the society and, you know, moving around there in nice big chariots and meeting great educated people and these things. And God's agenda for Moses was to condemn that agenda of the state. Amen. You know, God does strange things. But you see, sometimes we question that the Bible says, we are not our own, we are bought with a price. And I believe if we can only find that out, that we are bought with a price, we are not our own, we're going to take our self-will and submit it to God's will. We like to think that we are our boss. We like to think that we can do what we want to do. We like to think we have a right to do this and we have a right to do that. Amen. But you see, God, when God finishes with us, we'll be glad to be crucified with Christ.
Because God's ways are so far higher than our ways. God planning for us is so greater than what we can plan for our own self. Amen. Glory. And I believe that when he confronts a son and daughter of God with these things, and he brings them, and it comes to a battle, he brings them to a showdown. He brings them on the sacred grounds. Amen. Where he proves to them. Amen. And he overpowers them with his love. That brother, there's no son and daughter of God yet that ever wanted to resist the love of God after the love of God was revealed to them. From the time the love of God began to be revealed to them, it was just a matter of surrendering. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I'm thankful. Amen. And I too was able to surrender. Amen. Many years ago, up in Santa Cruz, when the love of God broke through every veil, ripped down everything. Amen. I was glad like Elisha to pick up my old filthy rags and tear it up and take a second-hand robe. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. To see something that spoke to my heart that God, by his grace, let me travel around the world, and I've never seen nothing since that I want to trade or exchange or felt in any way I've made the wrong decision. Amen. And I believe that every son and daughter of God has the same experience, because there ain't nobody who is a genuine Christian except your experience of the love of God, of coming to Calvary and seeing the expression of God's love where he took your place. You show me one person who tries to say that they are a Christian and love the world and yet say that they have been to Calvary. I will show you a person who is caught in religious deception. But the Bible says you can't love the world and have the love of God in your heart. Amen. And brother, when you see God's love and God's love is shed abroad in your heart, everything fades away. Every other thing fades away. Why? Because you come into something eternal. Amen. You may have not realized that there was something eternal. It might only be imagination. Might be a Bible story. You might have been calling the things that you see real, but the Bible said the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal, and the things that are seen were made of things which do not appear. So a Christian is one who have come to the place to see the difference between temporal and eternal. And eternal means never had no beginning nor no ending. Amen. It's eternal. Glory. Without beginning, there is no ending of life. Amen. Glory. To know that God has done that for us. Amen. Oh my. May this demonstration bring a greater conviction in our hearts to get out of this building, this old leaky house, this old leaky building here. Let me tell you, we pick up an offering for galvanize. We have new brand galvanize. Some of the thousands of dollars in galvanize up here that ain't leaking in one place. Another sitting on the leaky roof with all leaky galvanize. We buy that and put it there. That's not for no white elephant. We supposed to be under that roof. Amen. Glory. So may you realize the service of God has been hindered. And we have to go through and bear these things because a few people don't want to put their hands too deep down in their pockets. Amen. But may we break through all them financial veils and see Jehovah Jireh. Amen. And know our God is able to supply your needs according to his riches and glory. We pass over you in this place. We should be relocated. Look, the building is time up the air almost to be completed. But it's just a little greater effort by the grace of God. Amen? So I'm trusting that we move out of here soon and be able to better host our visitors when they come, that we don't have to sit down here. you know, under this old leaky roof and can't even hear the word of God, and people jumping from side to side for not getting wet from these things. Amen. Glory. I mean, I preached last week, it'll come to us as the rain, but I don't think it that kind of way. Amen. Glory. I believe it's a little different to that. So, I want to speak this morning a little bit on the hour of His judgment is come. Because the Bible says, the hour of His judgment is come. Revelation, this great book of symbols, is something here so outstanding in the Bible. You know, the book of Revelation is in symbols. And it's something different when prophecy is in symbol form than when it's just straight right out. In some places in the Bible, it says, in the last days there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, men hearts filled with fear, famines, pestilence. That don't need no interpretation. That is a plain outright prophecy. But then in the book of Revelation, which the Bible says the words of this prophecy, amen, is faithful and true, and the time of these things is at hand. So this book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. And what we are looking at is prophetic things. We've been speaking of the mark of the beast and the seal of God. It is prophetic things spoken for this hour. It is going to come and go, and it will not be called by the world the mark of the beast. Do you know that? But the believer who have been taught in the word will see that, no, that's the mark of the beast. But don't look to see the world calling it the mark of the beast. Don't look and see it being broadcast in the radios and the newspapers and the electronic media and being called the mark of the beast. It would not be. Amen. But because the revelation is being made plain now, it was promised to be made plain just before Jesus comes. He was going to get the church ready to go. And God always does that. Before he brings judgment, He always extends mercy. God is so loving. He never brings judgment without giving people a chance to repent. He's not willing that any should perish. God is long-suffering. A man have to sin his way to hell. Do you know that? A man have to reject and reject and reject. God is so long-suffering. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times. He falls and he gets up. And he falls, and before he gets up, God is saying, he's going to get up. Come on, boy. Rise to your feet. You can do it. I know you can do it. Don't stay on the air. You're a believer. Press on, Lily. Because God wants to raise him back up. Then he goes again, he falls again. And God didn't say, man, he fall again. I done with it, no. He says, come on, boy. Remember the last time? How you came out of that? You can do it. I'm still the same. I'm here to help you. Rise to your feet. Amen. And he said, no, before you go now, watch your mistake. Watch where you're making the mistake. You only fall. Isn't that like turning around? Is the enemy invading you? The enemy influencing you and taking you over? Because you don't have a proper defense. Amen. Glory. So God had to teach us, because you don't make the same mistake over and over and over. That would be negligence. That would no longer be a righteous man. That would no longer be a just man. Is that right? Sure. It's a just man. Man that is justified. So brother, when you look and you see, God is determined to bring a man out. Bring him to a full deliverance. And he gives a man, he's long suffering. He don't want nobody to perish. And the Bible says that God, in these last days, long suffering, just like in the days of Noah, while the ark is preparing, giving man a chance, reaching out. And then I can get even the strangers to then see that God knows them. And God was thinking about them. And I'm not saying for psychology because we have strangers in our service. I'm saying that as God representative to convey the love of God in this Bible. To say God is presenting that and God raises up a representative to represent Him. To present the plan of salvation to the people. Amen. That they can see it. That they can know. Do I want that? Is that going to help me? Is that going to change my life? Could this meet my problems? Could this make me live better than I'm living? Is this the answer to my need? Is this word going to deliver me? And may God help me that I could be that kind of representative to make His word that plain. That people will see. It's not a make-believe. It's not a hocus-pocus. It's not a business in the form of church. No, sir. If it's any business, it's the Father's business. And that is to fulfill the word. That's not no financial business. That's to fulfill the word. Amen. That man and woman could see the love of God. That somebody could walk in here and listen to the gospel and say, that is the raw truth. Don't count me out. Don't kind of blah. That I can walk into a place where I can be scrubbed in and made whiter than the snow. That I walk in and feel I'm safe and go back out the two-fold child of hell. Amen. Well, when the time down, brother, and I see death staring me in the face, and my little child laying there hungry, and the belly all being pushed out, and the pressure is dead, I could say, no, God is real. Amen. Amen. Now, I wouldn't have to make me, I wouldn't have to run for the priest, or run for this. I would say, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Let me tell you, these things become real to you and mean something to you when the chips down. When the dark night comes, then you'll be glad you had something real, something that burned deep down into your soul. Not something that was stuck into you and make you feel nice. No, sir. Not something that give you a nice feeling in your mind or something, but where you met Him in reality, amen. Where the words strip you of every worldly thing, of every make-believe, strip you up naked and put you down there in your face before God, where you can repent and say, oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Let me tell you, you find that those are the people that amount to anything with God. The ones that God strip out and empty out. Amen. The ones that God separate completely from the world. They are the ones who amount to anything. The people that come along for a little church feeling, a little church joining, a little social gathering, that don't amount to nothing. Because, brother, when the hard time comes, you understand there and know that they that know there, God shall do great exploits. And that is the way, my brothers, my sisters, in this hour that we are living in this shaking time. Amen. The darkness is upon the face of the evil. I know by now, even the little ones should be catching up with reality to know it's an evil hour. It's a dark hour. Demon powers are loosed upon the face of the earth. You see what they call fashion today, what they call pleasure today is so filthy, it's so vile, it's so full of abominations. You don't have to go in the world to see it. It's right there in all the churches. Is that right? And the Bible says, the hour of His judgment is come. But when it comes, when that hour comes, that judgment must begin at the house of God. Sure, the hour of His judgment is come. But look where it begins. It begins in the house of God. Amen. And you watch and see. Before that judgment was poured out, as we look in this mysterious book here of Revelation, oh, so hard to be understood. And the reason it's so complicated to people, because they lack the humility to accept that it took a prophet to reveal it. Never in no place you could find, never in no history, never in no sacred writing, never in no time in the past, you can go anywhere and see where God's revelation came to a priest, or God's revelation
kid, some Bible school student, or some man is going to take a course in theology and then come up with the revelation of God's word. Never has it been. And the Bible says, He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Behold, I am God and I change not. Surely the Lord God will do nothing except He first reveal His secrets to His servants, the prophets. But here we are living in a day when people don't believe in prophets. It's hard to believe in prophets. But if we look at this Bible, it's promised in the last days there will be a prophet, a real prophet. Not somebody when they give a prophecy. There's a difference between a prophet and someone when they give a prophecy. Amen. In the Old Testament, when a prophet came on the scene, brother, he came and thus said the Lord. He brought the word of God to the people. He walked right up to the king and spoke to the king. Like Elijah went to Ahab and said, oh, dew or rain will come if I forfeit. Whether they have to put judgment upon a king, a head of state, it meant nothing to a prophet. Look at Nathan told David. He said, David, you are that man. Is that right? Whether it was their own king, whether it was a righteous king or unrighteous king. Amen. That prophet would come out there with dust, hear the Lord. Look at John the Baptist, had to stand up there and tell Herod that he had his brother's wife, and it's not lawful for you to have that woman, he said. Is that right? How many good priests had seen that? How many of them saw that man living in adultery? But the man was a high influential man. He was like a king. Amen. He thought he could marry and divorce and marry again. He had his own idea about it. Don't the word of God had said plain? And the priests, because, you know, they maybe could suppress the poor people. They maybe could crowd against sin in that level. But when sin comes to a certain level, they get intimidated because of where the sin is. Amen. But you see, a prophet, he speaks for God, and nobody intimidates God. Amen. So John says, he says, it's not lawful. It cost him his life. Some priest might have said, if he had only hold his peace, he could still have his ministry today. Amen. He could still have a great following. Look what happened. Look at believers cat all about. Look at the shame and the reproach a man bring. See, if he wasn't a meddler, meddling in people's lives and the social business, if he only talked about God love. But my brother, my sister, the gospel isn't just talking about God love, it's talking about God's wrath also. God is a meddler. God loves to meddle. Because the word of God is quick and sharp and powerful. It's a discern of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It gets down between the joint and the bone and the marrow. It goes between the soul and the spirit. Amen. It will bring back things to remembrance. Sure. Moses says, I put this as a witness to call into remembrance the sin the day I walk away from this. Is that right? Sure. So, brother, you look in the world and you see God thinks it's serious. But you see, that don't mean God is bad. That don't mean the world is hard. No, sir. When a man will stand with God, there is no limit. There is no limit that God will go with that man. Look at God come down in a fiery furnace with four boys. With three boys, rather. Look at God come down and identify himself with them. And say he was their God. God defied a whole kingdom for them. Amen. Look at Abraham. When all the medical doctors laugh at him and say, you're crazy. Let me tell you, no medical doctor could pressure Abraham contrary to the promise of God. A lot of us, medical doctors, pressure us away from the promise of God. But Abraham, brother, he said, God's word is true. Abraham failed to still laugh in the face of doctors. Any doctor that's trying to tell you something different than the promise of God. There's many good doctors, and we need to have good doctors. And no, the word of God is not against medicine. that God is the one who brings medicine. And God is the one leading them to find those things to help man. But some of the delinquents who practice with it try to exalt the knowledge above God. And they don't see the God who leads them to it. They don't see the God who created that and put the medicinal value inside of it. Who didn't create the herb and put the things in it? It's God. God created to begin with. Who do you think made Jigger Bush and four vines? It's God. Sure. See, God do that entirely. God put that there. But then you see people now, they get to a place, they try to take it from the word of God. You see, Satan tries to hold man to see the creation always and don't see the creator. Don't see God behind it. Amen. If God is healed with a smile or a kind word, it's God to speak that kind word. If God is healed with a smile, it's God to smile through that person to bring healing. Because God is the only healer. The devil's smile can't bring healing. Amen. Is God has a smile in your heart? Is God smiling? Is that right? Amen. So I tell you, you know, you look and you see that the situation that we are faced with. And in this hour, God is not willing that any should perish. There was the prophecy in this Bible says the time is going to come. The hour of His judgment is going to come. The everlasting gospel will be preached first. Then the hour of His judgment is come. And that hour, He says, when that hour comes, worship Him who created heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of waters. Amen. And when that same message began to unfold a little further, another angel was beginning the second fold of that message. It began to say, put judgment on Babylon now. Why? Because that's where Satan's seat was. Is that right? Sure. How she pollute the whole world. Because it's a mystery Babylon. It's a mystery Nimrod. And then the third angel, when he comes, he was going to gather up with the first angel, what the second angel said, and bring the message in fullness. He said, now that judgment, that wrath of God, will be poured out upon men who worship the beast and men who worship the image. They didn't worship the God who created heaven and earth. They didn't believe that everlasting gospel. And Peter says, he says, now when that hour comes, he says, judgment must begin at the house of God. He said, and where, what will the end of them who don't believe the gospel? What will the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Now look. We've been taking this subject on the seal of God and the mark of the beast. Both sides, as I told you, they go together. So, I'm just bringing a little part on the mark of the beast side to bring the seal of God again. Because here it says, they who worship the beast or who his image or receive his mark in their forehead, the mark of his name. When God sees them, God put his name in their forehead. But there's other people that have not a name in their forehead. They have the name of the beast in their forehead. And your forehead speaks of your revelation. Amen. Now watch. And when judgment comes, it begins where? In the house of God. Not the drunkard in the street. Not the man in the calypso tent. It don't start there. It starts with in the house of God. Don't mean 2 Thessalonians 1. Now we will see a little more. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of our God? Let's see, because we want to prove to you we have received that gospel. That same everlasting gospel is what has come to us. That's the good news. He is risen. He is here amongst us. It's been proclaimed. All of His blessings, His redemptive blessings. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. Now we can look at this a little more than is here in the book of Revelation. It's a prophecy. It's going to happen one day. And I believe in that time, I believe all these things that are happening in the earth right now is tied to these very things. And may God help us and give us grace to see it. It's a shaking time for believers. It's a checking up time. It's a lamp trimming time. Are we just taking the last couple of weeks out? When that the last hour comes and there'll be no more calling. That hour comes and the door will be shut and there's no more entering in. Second Thessalonians 1, verse 5. Paul writing here, and to always get the true understanding of Second Thessalonians 1, you need to read 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. Because in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, he was dealing with the coming of the Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And he was saying that day will come like a thief in the night. And he's exhorting the church. And then he continued to write the same people. It comes like if you're writing somebody a letter. And you know the last letter you wrote them. You was talking about a certain thing. And so we're going to meet so and so and so and so. And then when you write them the next letter, it's the same. You had no communication between that last time and this present time. So you know the former communication that you had. So you continue to speak in the same manner about the same subject. And that's exactly what's happening right here. It's not like a different book. These were letters that he was writing to these people. And he's coming to write them exactly where he stopped. He picked it up there and he begins, "This is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you get it? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? That's why it begins in the house of God. Because that's where the gospel of God was proclaimed. So watch this. We talk about the hour of his judgment is coming, how it begins in the house of God. And them who obey not the gospel. Here it says, and he comes from heaven with his mighty angels to take vengeance on them that know not God and on them that obey not the gospel. So now we want to place that time of when that judgment is. When that judgment is come and going to begin in his house and it's going to begin upon them who obey not his gospel. That's what we're talking about. And we see it's going to be when he come, when he's been revealed from heaven with his angels in flaming fire. That's that time. He's going to come as judge. Okay, now verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? We have seen what shall the end be. We have seen what shall the end be of them. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. You mean when he's coming to be admired in his church, in them that believe him, in them that obey him, is when he's going to come to bring judgment upon them that obey not his gospel. Now, as clear as I can read the scripture, it's making sense to me. Alright? The hour of his judgment is come, and it will begin in the house of God, and it will be upon them who obey not the gospel. Now, here he's coming in judgment, taking vengeance on them who obey not the gospel, and at the same time, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you is believing that day. In other words, because the gospel was preached to you in that day. And you obeyed. You believe it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your house shall be saved. You believe it. So you wasn't caught in the judgment. Wherefore also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name, and we come back to the name again, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That name that is written in your forehead, that seal is that name. Okay, turn with me to Ezekiel 9. Let us see where God, when He comes in judgment, how He comes and He begins at the house of God. That's where judgment always begins. Now this is prophetic again. This was a vision of prophecy. Just like we have here in the book of Revelation. Here in the Old Testament also in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 9. Ezekiel, I just finished seeing visions in Ezekiel 8. He had seen how the ancient of the house of Israel had all kind of idol worship and all these different things. Had a secret society inside of there worshiping all kind of things. Yet they were supposed to be believers of the true God. And verse chapter 9, God is getting ready to come in judgment. The hour of His judgment was being revealed to Ezekiel. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and let every man with a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen, having a writer's ink on by his side. Notice that six of them had a slaughtering weapon, and one man, the seventh, had a writer's ink on by his side. Seven of them. And they went in and stood beside a brass altar. That's right. In the house of God. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub upon which He was to the threshold of the house. And He called to the man clothed with linen. All is in the vision now. He described what he's seen in the vision. Who had the writer's ink on by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst of it. Notice this. This was not to the slaughtering angels. This was to the man who had the writer's ink on. He was to go through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads. Now, what we read in Revelation 14 was another mark. That was a mark of the beast. There's another mark in the forehead. We're going to find this one in a little while. Put a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst of it. And to the other six now, he said in mine hearing, go after him. In other words, don't go before him. Don't go together with him. Go after him through the city. And smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. Touch not man anointed. Amen. Touch not them that are marked, who have that mark in their forehead. Don't come near them. And begin at my sanctuary. Where is judgment going to begin? At my sanctuary. It must begin in the house of God. Then they began with the ancient men who were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Notice, this destruction was only designated to Jerusalem. Is that right? It was only designated to Jerusalem. Then said he in unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. What is iniquity? To know that which is right and don't do it. You know it's right to be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, but you want to be sprinkled. Iniquity. You know it's right to let your hair grow and you want to cut it. That's iniquity. You know it's right that to dress modestly and don't put on a garment that pertains to a man as an abomination, and you still do it. That is iniquity. Is that right? Exactly. And the city is full of perverseness. What is perverseness? It means to lead astray a person or someone's mind from the right opinion, especially in religious belief. Especially in religious belief. It means apostasy. The city is full of perverseness. A perversion of the truth. God have one, only one provider way for everything. But say, no, God don't mind if you do this. God will accept that. It's alright. People exalting the knowledge above the word of God. Handling the word of God deceitfully. It becomes a perversion. And perversion breeds perversion. Hybrid is a perversion of original life. To crossbreed something. To mix the truth with the world. Amen. Brings perversion. And the city was full of people knowing what is right and not doing it. Doing their own thing. Exalting their own knowledge above the word. It was full of perversion. Man handling the word deceitfully. Taking it from the word, watering down the word, making it a social gospel, making it a little social club where we just come for entertainment, whoop up the music real hard, put a little worldly flavor inside it so we can boogie a little bit. Is that right? We can have little bunko games and little sports days and little worldly entertainment to become the major, to take the place of the word. Amen. And those things, the city was full of it. And look what so-called Christianity is today. It's full of those things. And Jerusalem was full of those things. Until they was worshipping God, but not with sincerity. It was a form, a ritual. It was just in the sense of duty. Their heart was not with it. And Jesus said, vain do these worship me. Alright now. Now Ezekiel was seeing the destruction of Jerusalem. Is that right? We want to bring this out in a way. I'm just laying some background here before I get to preach a little bit. To show you that these things, Ezekiel 9, repeats again. And why? You say, why? Do you believe the judgment is come? Why do you believe it begin at the house of God already? Why do you believe that all these things about finish? Because before them slaughtering angels could be loosed, they was held back. They couldn't be loosing the people yet. Until God had sealed up them that sigh and cry for the abomination of the city. Is that right? He says, wait! Don't you go nowhere. Let him go first. Let him go and seal them in the mark them in the forehead. Is that right? God always keeps his program. God never deviates from the original pattern. That is why a believer in this hour could know, even though thousands of years have passed, that we can still have confidence that God has not changed, because we see in God's promised word for this day, it is still the same. Times have changed, people have changed, dressing might change, societies have changed, church buildings might change, but God's word never changes. And when we look back in this Bible, we see the same pattern. We can see history repeating itself again. And if we see right now in this present hour and the world scene, we see them slaughtering angels, fixing to be loose. Or they want to be loose, but they cannot be loose until God loose them. They march out there with the slaughtering weapons, but they cannot use them. Why? Don't go until this one go first. They're in the political realm, but this one was in the spiritual realm. Is that right? And the people who was to be slaughtered was already there, alive, moving around. Just waiting to be slaughtered when the slaughtered angels started to move. When they was loosed. But the ones who was to be sealed and escape the judgment, they was right there too. Just waiting for that angel to come their way. Is that right? And he was going to come their way. He was going to come to them if they was ordained to go. Is that right? He knew them, brother. He was going to find them. Not until the last one came. Then he told them, slaughter angels, you go now. Look at verse 10. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. Let me tell you, God will have pity. Millions will die. The atomic bomb will be loosed. Is that right? The second war is passing, behold, the third war coming quickly. But between that time, there's a mighty angel dropped down from heaven with an open book. What does he come for? In that time shall Michael the great prince stand to deliver all the names that are found written in that book. Oh, I thank God when I woke up and realized I ain't Charles and Ella Branham's son. Hallelujah! That my name was in that book. That God had a seed. God had an expression. God put you inside of the air. God wrote your name in blood. You was ordained to hear the word when the gospel coming like music in your ears. You didn't mind you had to change your lifestyle. You didn't mind you had to lay aside the things of the world because you found something greater. You wasn't looking for some fence to straddle. Amen. When you hear who is on the Lord's side, brother, you say, I. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You took your stand. You ain't witnessing it. How? You are. You say, could I do this? Could I not do that? How long this? Like I hear people come to service here be too long. I can't come to church, the service be too long. But you want short service in eternity? Hell have a time, it will finish. But eternity service not done there at all. Eternity have no end. I ain't been a fanatic. Amen. I know people have time. We have time to do things. We have time to spend here in the house of God. We have a curfew. We have time, we have to leave home. We have to do these things as responsible people. We have other commitments in life that we can't neglect also. I know that. But when we set aside a day for God, you mean we want to give the devil time in that too? When we know half of them are going to run and do something unprofitable and waste time, when we can hear the word of God, when you watch some of the same people enjoying all kind of unprofitable activities that unglorify the God and only satisfy the flesh. Is that right? So, I say we need to love God a little more. I say God deserves a little better than that. I say we need to go back to the cross and see he didn't hold back on us. Why should we hold back on him? He loved when it was pain to love. He gave when it was pain to give. He endured the cross. Amen. Despite the shame. He didn't make excuses. He didn't try to find fault with us to go another way. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we need a fellowship with him a little closer. I believe those thoughts only control and influence the minds of people when their life is not in the presence of God and not walking close to God enough. I believe by finding those things difficult to do is a true indication of a lack of consecration. is a true indication that the Lord of the world has some power over us still. Exactly right. And behold, a man clothed with linen, verse 11, the last verse, who had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. It was finished. When I have done, there was no more to be sealed. It was finished. The seal was done. It was finished. Now watch. And we know, we've been studying. I said, what is the meaning of all this activity? Let me just blend this a little bit here. In the Middle East, what does it mean of all this activity? All this present Gulf crisis. You see, the world has been reshaped. As a little CARICOM region here, we know it. And the whole move by the leaders is to unite and come together or get left behind. And even right now, because of the economic situation in the country, they are hoping that if war really break out here and you know, it could cause oil prices to raise. And when oil prices raise, we could have a better economic condition because of war out here. So sometimes it may be a temptation to pray for peace. You know what I'm saying? So the politicians have the problems. That's your problem. That's our problems. That's your problem. We look at something else here. What we are focusing on is that why all these things are happening out here, because it is influencing the entire world. It's having an influence on this nation. And they know it. So then if all those people out there, they didn't go out there on a picnic, they didn't go out there for a rally, they didn't go out there for the Olympic Games or something, they go out there for war. They go out there armed to the teeth. Whether it's chemical warfare, the bunks up, whatever type of warfare they meet, but a naval battle is, battle on land is, battle in the air, they go there again to fight what type of war it is. They have gone there with slaughtered weapons in their hands. And there have been a little provocation, because they know it's a little embarrassment to go there and don't use your weapons. You go there and what it costs in the millions per day to spend here with the among the troops feeding people and these things. But the lifestyle of people that is disrupted by the invasion of all these forces in the territory that they're not put up with, the influence having upon the children, the influence having upon the women, places where women even showing their face. You come here, you're American woman walking about in t-shirts and all kind of different things with gun all over the shoulder and sitting and smoking and cussing with the men and them and all these things, because in the army. So that's the influence in that society and lifestyle. That is the spirit of woman liberation could hit that place. When they leave, that place will never be the same. Because that is spirits. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the whole nation is full of a television getting America filled, being pouring the air, and American lifestyle and culture, but then they don't need the television to do it. They have it live right in front of them. And then they're coming there with a dominance in the region. Now that's going to affect the social life of people. You know, there's war. They're going with the purpose of war, but there's a lot of activity going on. If you in your home and you and your family live in your home, and you have to move in your family in the couple rooms now to make room for your auntie and her family and the next uncle and his family coming, and then they're going to live in the house for a little while together with you, and you have to bear with them because maybe you don't drink, maybe you don't smoke, you know this, and your uncle is a heavy smoker, a chain smoker, your auntie is cussed and she has a little TV in her room. After a while, you think that house is going to be the same when they leave? Oh, exactly, no. I mean, just be a little sober in your thinking. You get an idea of what's going on. You know about hundreds of thousands of people. You know about five tourists walk in and walk back out, you know. So they're eating, they're drinking, they're in every restaurant, they're dining, they're moving through the street, they're driving. Streets have to make detours and think for them to pass. So they all the big equipment and the military equipment up and on the place. The whole lifestyle and everything being restructured. When they wake you up and seeing jet planes and fighter planes over your in your sky every day. No, it's all kind of war maneuvers taking place. You're telling them, seeing these up and down. They can't play in the streets no more. They're getting scared. They're getting terrified. It's a different environment. It's a new environment created here. So, all this activity, and they're going out there with slaughtering weapons. But what's something, as I'm saying, that what's happening is affecting the whole world, and all the world is identified there whether they want or not. I mean, right now, our newspapers are full of all kind of people just, you know, writing all kind of different things themselves. Some of them you want to know if they went out there. The authorities, some of them want to talk with. See, they give you the life story, the man, this, that, and the other. When you're small, what you do when you get big. Like if they was there. And then you realize, Trinidad, I mean, they, because of the region, what is happening, they have to go along with the bigger powers. Because you need them. And then, because you need them, they use you conveniently. And you have no choice in the matter because you could either get excommunicated. And then for economic survival, you want to stay within a certain fraternity. So the whole world, I mean, nations are breaking. One way or the other, everything is being pushed into a place because right now what is happening is changing the world. Last year, the world began to change drastically when Eastern Europe began to decommunize. And God, gracious, come and show us right in the Bible, those things were scriptural. Those things had a very definite bearing. The Holy Spirit come and open up those revelations right there. Show us how that mighty hunter, brother, he's taking territory, he's taking resources, he is coming where Satan is going to be enthroned as God. And because of this first major world event happening on a world stage, in the beginning of this new world order that is emerging here, you know what is happening? They are seeing more the need for a world government. So there are a lot of people advocating now a world government to manage international crisis, to manage things on a global level. How are we going to deal with it when one man would arise in this type of age where full of terrorism and these things, and some people just, you know, ignoring treaties, ignoring this, want to rise up and just throw the whole world in chaos? Would the rest of the civilized industrial world just sit back and let it happen? No, we have to do something to manage these things. So they advocate no world government. But those things is foretold in the Bible. Now you see, the thing is, we read it in the Bible, we know it could be a world state. We know Rome is going to control it. But what mystifies you is when you see how these things are coming in. When you see the channels through which they are being developed. When you see the naked scripture looking back at you like that, and you see yourself standing here, and you look in your own life to see how you are coping with the with your pressures of this age. When you look and see your walk and your association with God through this message, what kind of power it has produced in your life. When you see what kind of atmosphere is coming among believers. When you see what kind of expectation is in the church. When you see what kind of prayer meeting they're having. Is that right? Because all these things is happening. Now look. I'll give you a little quote here. Leadership, page 47. Now look at yourself, really. You are a genuine Bible Christian full of the love of God. He said, are you a genuine Bible Christian full of the love of God? Look at yourself. Remember the Bible said in the last days, when this time takes place, he said a marking angel went through the churches, went through the cities and sealed only those who sighed and cried for the abomination that was done in the city. Is that right? Ezekiel 9, we know that's true. The marking angel went forth and put a mark on their head, their forehead, sealed them that sighed and cried. After that come the slaughtering angel from the four corners of the earth. They come from everywhere. Do you know that? First time since World War I, this is the whole world united like that. Come from the four corners of the earth, we're just coming right away as we see it coming. Wars moving right in, that will kill the whole earth off. There was nothing that they could touch but them that had the mark. He says, now, is your heart so concerned about sinners and the way that the church and the people are doing, till you can sigh and cry about it day and night? If not so, I'm wondering. That's the scripture, he says. Don't meet the Revelation 7. I'm doing this for the sake of some of these patients. Go back to Revelation 7, because I know you was this for a couple of weeks before. But if I quote it, many people who are not acquainted with the Bible would not know what I'm quoting. But I want to bring the reality of this to show when that third angel begins to go forth, it's not only believers is marking their forehead. Others are marking their forehead also. Not only believers are worshipping God. Others are ignorantly worshipping the devil, thinking it's God they're worshipping. They're worshipping the beast and don't know it. That's why it's so detrimental. And look at the judgment. That burning message, bringing judgment upon them that worship the beast in the image, whose mark of his name is in their forehead. Now God told, God showed Ezekiel that vision. When that angel was going forth, it was going forth to mark those who sang cry in their foreheads before them slaughtering angels. Revelation 7. Let's look at that again. The last days, you know. Look at the unchanging God. Because this is a perfect parallel to that time. But notice something. It begins where? At the house of God. That's where the sealing begins. That's where the judgment begins. At the house of God. All these years been trying to mark you in your forehead. All these years you've been sitting here, been trying to get the devil seal out. Trying to get you so filled with the word of God. All these years you sit right here. Because it begins where? At my house. Revelation 7. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. That the one who created heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Okay, so here now when destruction was coming the last days, watch. The same God, before he would let them slaughter angels, destroy the earth, destroy the sea, destroy the trees, he says, hold them that they will not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, on the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Just like Ezekiel 9. And there was no time that had ever taken place in the history where the entire world was at war. Where war covered earth and sea and trees and all these things was destroyed. But back then, in them old days, when they fight with swords and these things, before they had the weapons like guns and bombs and tanks and all these things, they fought on land. And when they fought there with swords and bow and arrows and these things, they never hurt the sea in those wars. See? They never hurt all the trees in those wars. But in this war, these wars, which winds mean wars and strife, they wouldn't blow, and not just on the earth, but all on the sea, is where we see that It was in World War I. God stopped the war mysteriously. And he stopped it, and he's been taking the last couple of weeks for a purpose. And I've been trying to show you over the last couple of weeks that if what God started there, he is still working with that. Because that angel came back and says, it is done, it is finished. They could slaughter now. It is finished. There will be a time one day when the sealing will be finished. And when it's finished, then the land will be drenched in blood. Then them slaughtering angels with their slaughtering weapons will hurt the earth, will hurt the sea, will hurt the trees. It will completely destroy this earth. This world systems will be leveled in a nuclear holocaust. See, Armageddon will clean off the earth. The Bible says it. But watch. But what we see is that judgment, when the hour of his judgment is come, when God begins to pour judgment, he does not do it until he gives them a chance to repent. Until that sealing angel goes forth to seal up them who sigh and cry. Now Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 9, we've seen a prophecy in a form of vision of the destruction of Jerusalem. He was in the time that's going to come when it was going to begin the sanctuary. God was showing it. And it actually happened. Now if we can look and see how those things actually happen, then it will give us a good indication, it will give us a good idea of how it's happened today. And if when the people fail to see those armies and things moving with those slaughtering weapons, but Titus wasn't just coming for a visit to Jerusalem. He wasn't just coming, you know, for a parade. He wasn't just coming, you know, to put on a military show or something. He was coming for destruction. But he could not be loosed upon the people. He could not be loosed upon that nation until that angel had gone forth first. And those Christians knew that hour was going to come. And they saw the buildup of military power in the region. And let me tell you, the armies don't go in a region to start a war just like that. Because it is political disturbance. Political disturbance in the earth. Now, you mean they're saying, once you talk about political disturbance, wars and rumors of wars, is trumpets. Trumpets are all through the Bible. But there's seven last trumpets. But every time there's political disturbance, that's a trumpet being blown. Any time there's been a war in the Bible, any war, that's a trumpet being blown. Any time there's been a judgment poured out, there's a vial being poured out, regardless. It's just in the book of Revelation, it's called trumpet and it's called vial. Because vial is just a symbol speaking of God's judgment. And God never sends judgment without a warning. Is that right? But in the warning, the messenger identifies and shows the oncoming storm. And give the people the warning that they might prepare and lives are saved by preparation. And judgment only follows after mercy spoken. Is that right? Now God have always used words in the Bible to chastise nations, to bring judgments for rejection of his word. You go through the Old Testament, go through the book of Kings or Chronicles. Every time a prophet rises to hear the word of God, I want them to think hard in their heart and reject that prophet and they go off into idolatry and abomination in the land. What happens? You see afterwards, Babylon, God stirred up the spirit of this king. And then Nebuchadnezzar come and give him the captivity. And God stirred up the spirit of the Arabians. And the spirit of the Philistines. And they come in and burn the city and different things. Wars. God always, it always follows. When the church goes to messing in politics. when they're going to the world, and God raises a voice that calls the church back to repentance and brings on birth pain to shake them back to the world, and they refuse that world and they go right to the politics, your problems. To give you a little national indication of it, so you can even see it, you read in the Bible, right in the nation, we're at the crisis. You have the church messing in politics. Is that right? Negotiating, doing this, doing that, doing the other. Now it's a big force over who condemning this and who condemning that and who doing the other. Now church and state have already shown publicly that they are being united and they are speaking with one voice. And then you have members of the so-called church speaking with another voice when they had have already called it foreign gods, and then they're not condemning the foreign gods that they had called foreign gods. What do you get? Then you get all kinds of divisions within the realm of the church. But then they're going to take the power of the state. The church could use that now to crush any dissident forces. So, that's the name of the game. That's the pattern in the Bible. But the real church have been called out of the world, have been brought back to the word and the plan of God. Because that is not the church out there. That's the world. With God's name tacked to it, being called a church. Did you see that? Sure. You see, so anytime there's a trumpet song, there's political disturbance. But there's religious disturbance too. Because under those seals, there's men, inspired men, catching that word. And when they proclaim it, it causes birth pains. It shakes. Because God condemns the wrong. Sure. If a man gifted is sitting there catching the word of God, when he brings out a word, that word will correct every error. Sure. That word will keep the elect lined up with the word, not looking at the worldly church. Because the worldly church is caught up in politics, is that right? Because this is the hour they have been united. And she's just staying in line because she's been called out, come out of her, my people. When God is destroyed, he's going to destroy all those things in one. The atomic bomb is going to destroy it all. Amen. So watch and see. So here, in Revelation 14, John seen this vision, just like Ezekiel saw that vision of judgment coming. And John saw the everlasting gospel. An angel going forth, three angels. One had the everlasting gospel. Second angel came and said, Babylon is fallen. And third angel came and showed the judgment itself. Now the first thing it shows us here is the hour of his judgment has come. First thing comes is what? The hour. The hour is come. When judgment will begin to start here. That hour comes. Because that hour couldn't come except he takes that girdle off of his waist. That hour couldn't come as long as he's still on that Father's throne. Do you understand that? But that everlasting gospel will reveal that hour. The hour is come. But God never sends judgment except he sends a prophet first. A prophet is always a sign of coming judgment. How are we going to know we know of judgment? We hear about the last days. We hear about the earth is going to be judged. How are we going to know it? There will be a prophet rise. That is scriptural. Why? Because in the beginning of the world, as it was in the days of Noah, before God sent judgment, he sent Noah. God would not judge that world as filthy as it was, as immoral as the one was, as worldly as the people was, as evil as the scientist was. Working, brother, you have doctors, brother, studying the human body, how they can destroy it. Don't you know when they're inventing the poison gas to work on the human body? Is they study the anatomy of the human body? Don't you know when Hitler had so much money, when they killed in World War II, he needed them scientists. He had to come up with something that was not going to drain the economy of the German nation, but you'll be able to systematically exterminate 6 million people. We did about four times the amount of people Trinidad have. Killing one-third part of the Jewish population in the world. Don't you know a systematic destruction was called the final solution to the Jewish question? And they got them architects to design the ovens. They got them scientists to invent the gas, to work in the laboratory and produce the gas. Don't you know they had many other methods before that they come up with the gas? The Xylem B? Sure! And that, all of us under that sixth trumpet, it was happening, was political disturbance in the earth. Under that sixth trumpet, one-third of the men was going to die. It didn't say how it was going to... It said that, you know, the fire and brimstone and smoke by these were one-third part of the men killed. Is that right? It just put in a condensed form. But it took a man rising up the air, anointed one of the angels in that bong, in that Euphrates River that was loosed. Is that right? So, Adolf Hitler rose up the anointed and began to preach Nazism. Begin to make the German people believe that they are a super race, that they are going to conquer the world. And then, all of that time, here it was in the Bible showing under that sixth trumpet, God is going to raise up dictators. He's going to harden their heart like he hardened Pharaoh's heart to drive the elected people back in the promised land. So the prophecy could be fulfilled that the Old Testament prophets like Ezekiel and Moses and Jeremiah and Isaiah all them and Daniel them spoke of. They spoke of, they had seen afar off and they spoke of it. Is that right? God said, I'll bring them out from the nations. He didn't say how he's going to do it. He said, I'll bring them out. I'll bring them back into the land. The people who are scattered will be gathered again. They who are blinded, they will be healed. Is that right? They will live in my sight in the third day. God had said it to Hosea and them. But here it was under the feast of the trumpets that they had as a feast. How they will gather together again. After they were scattered, Israel will always do that in a type. But here, on a world stage, there was coming. An event was causing it. World War II had happened. Something struck the earth. We are the generation that grew up after World War II. We live in a world that was reshaped by the war. Yet we didn't see the war. Now we stand between that world as reshaped by the war, being reshaped again, and coming into a world state. In this generation, we see a new industrial revolution, the computer age, all these things come on, a change in technology. Many of us can't even relate to it. Many of you can't even understand it. Like the other day, the brothers was talking about a little calculator, you know, and they're doing some estimation, you know, on the building and trying to work out some figures. And then, you know, one of them says, he says, well, after I work it out with this, he says, I just go back and work it out by myself, you know. Because, I said, the only reason, because you lack the confidence. Because you're not in this, you're not trained in this age. You're not trained with these things. See, and what you're going to thinking that it's going to come out wrong is right, and it's giving you a fraction where you can't even work out yourself, and it's giving you like lightning like that. But you see, we come up under the old school. We come up with slate and pencil and the little red beads and yellow beads and green beads and the wire. But our children come up with the computer. They come to a different thing. We never had no computer game when we were small. They call it the third industrial revolution. First was the big smokestacks coming in. See? Then they come from there into the other age and television and, you know, better homes and medicine and a better diet and all the different things. But now it's moving into another realm now. Look where it's come to now. See? And here, at this stage, the whole world is changing again. Because this whole world that we live in, you know, we hear about the two superpowers, and we grew up in, from little children to big men. And we see the two superpowers in the loggerhead for the past 50 years. And then we come into a world where we see all them nations working together now. We see all that thing diffused here, and they're giving their power, and the real power, with a world leader getting ready to take stage. Let me tell you, if you don't make it in the rapture, that's what you're going to see. That's the world you're walking into right now. Where Nimrod, the beast, is going to rule the world. Later on, we're going to get it in a few weeks to come. When I can finish out this and bring it to the book of Daniel to show you. Because if this is a new world order being defined with this present Gulf crisis and the tomb of the world state with the Bible predicts, then you don't have a world, you don't have a world leader. And the whole book of Daniel and all Daniel's visions was seeing that last day ruler, that great Gentile ruler who's going to rule the world, Satan Superman. But the bride will be taken away sometime between the binding and the tears and the revealing of the Antichrist. The rapture will take place. She will go before he comes in the scene. But we know the office is coming true. And that is why it is not far-fetched for us to look and see what is the power behind the scenes that is controlling the nations of the world. If you sit in the kings of the earth, do you see them drunk? Do you see them intoxicated? Somebody else wine? Or you see them sober? If you see them sober, you believe the Bible? They're drunk. They're drugged. They're carrying out the plans of another. They didn't accept it willfully. They was pressured into it. They was broken. They was forced into it. Many like Russian oil, they're just going along. They're not for it. You can imagine the big beer just humble itself and playing the junior partner to the United States and all this right now. I mean, if you know world history and you know your Bible and you understand the time you're living in, that reality, it takes a lot to humble yourself like that. They are taking the role of clearly the junior partner in this whole thing. They don't have the initiative. They are just following along. They are being told what to do and what America expects of them, and they are giving the support. In the eyes of the world, in the eyes of their own allies in that region. Sure. But you see, the table will turn and America will have to take the junior partner too. When California sings, America will become the junior partner. They will have to go along now. Because they are going to compete with Russia as a military superpower. And then she's going to want to take everything she wants. She's going to gobble up this and gobble up that and gobble up here. And you read the Bible in Daniel 11, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Read and see. It don't know what America is doing there. At that time, it's about Russia taking this and taking that. The king of the north doing that. Where's America? She's there still because all 10 kings is down there in Revelation 19. But she's clearly the junior partner. Because she's heading to destruction. Why? She rejected her message. The church went into politics. Let me tell you, it is the churches. You see, I don't see the churches in politics. Maybe you don't see them with the gong talking it. But who is controlling trade and commerce? Whose money is financing those things out here? It is the church's money. That's how she's in politics out here. She's more. Her time is occupied with oil wells and banks and all the different things. Not getting people saved. Not carrying the gospel to the end of the earth. No! Of getting the right politicians in power so they can keep controlling things behind the scene. Of influencing the people who to vote for. But that is what the message came when the seventh seal broke. And the seventh angel caught the message. It was to call us out of the world. Come out of that. That is religion and politics being united. Come out of that. Because that thing is going to be judged. And it is, my friend. It is going to be judged. Right here, John saw it. The hour of judgment is going to come. The first one is going to come was the hour. Then, after the hour comes, then there is an investigation. God who just judges us before He investigates. God comes to judge the quick and the dead. He comes in investigation. He begins to move first. Move to the church. Because there is some who will not be caught in the judgment. He's not going to come and pour judgment and kill everything. No. He's going to come and find them that obey His word. Find them that is keeping that word. Find them that is walking in that light. Find them who receive His prophet. Before God poured judgment, He shut Noah in the ark. Is that right? God revealed to Noah how to build the ark. God gave Noah the message to preach. God bring the animals in. God said, Noah in the ark. God shut the ark. And God took care of His elect first before He sent judgment. Before God destroyed Egypt, God sent Moses. He revealed him what to do to get the people safe. Kill the lamb. Put that mark on the door. Wherever that mark was, judgment will be forbidden to strike. Is that right? He took care of His elected first. That is God's pattern in the Bible. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. My brother, my sister, stranger, visitor this morning. God in His word. Speaking. That hour is going to come. The hour of His judgment. And look at people sitting here in the world today. Don't even know that hour has come. Don't even know that He has put on His vestures. He has changed His vesture and His garments of vengeance He has put on. They don't even know He has removed that girl from around His waist. Don't even know that He has gone through an investigation and have put His bride aside already. And here we see these things rising on the face of the earth. Why is it now that since World War I, something can unite the whole world together? Why is it? Because of that union, they are all advocating our world state, trying to destroy the sovereignty, national sovereignty. Why is it? Because you can't leave a lot of these people to do what they want. In this scientific age, when you have men of great renown, like in the days of Noah, when man could split the atom, when man could bring out all kind of poison gas and these things, could burn the earth and build factories to produce things like an industry. Because of aggression, because of desire for conquest. What it is? It's the Red Horse Rider. Can you see still riding? Can you see there? But that if it is loose, it can destroy the whole earth. It's the edge all the end of the Bible. It's just that, you know, we don't think of it in our way many times. And so we take many things, we kind of put back in history. But all the things are present and still there. And they're right before us. And one of the very main concerns is within a couple of years, those people could be a superpower. They're going to have nuclear power in their hands. Then they could come right there and destroy another nation thousands of miles away with the missiles. So would we have a world where you have people like this, just radical and just in their own self and become a god among their own people with things like that? Then let us get together. Let's have a society set up in such a way to deal with these things. So these things can't exist, these things can't survive. Let's have a world government. Oh, but the Bible didn't say Rome is going to rule the whole world. Is it going to rule the whole world? Everybody will be buying a rosary? It will come all religion and no politics? Can't you see the world and the same world still? But the lines have been redrawn. The way of dealing with things on a global level is changed. Yet the world, to the John public, the world is like the same world. He long for a spade. He still see the same street. He still see the same buildings. He still see the same things. But when the scriptures say, and they begin to make God think an evil thought. Well, that is one instance about Russia. But all around the world in a certain season, all of the leaders are thinking different thoughts. They're playing with that thought in their mind, which way are we going to go? Should we go socialist? Should we go this? Should we go communism? Should we go free trade? Should we go this? In the open market, should we do this? Should we go CARICOM state? Should we go that? The other thoughts are thinking. We too thinking. His intelligence cannot. We are thinking his thoughts. His intelligence is here. We, the bride of the mind of Christ, you know what he wants over the world? We know it's time to cut ties here in this world. We know it's time to restructure inside of here also. We know it's time to prepare the people for what is coming. We know it's time to get security conscious too. We know it's time to get our people ready. We know it's time to see lies moving through every level of this assembly here. Sure, if we want to survive as a people. Aren't we seeing the same thing? Oh my, wake up. Don't just slumber there and don't know what's happening this hour. Be awakened. And see how these things was coming in. Look right there, John said it. The hour of his judgment is come. Now watch. Now those three angels and their messages, where does that fit? Where does that apply? Who are those angels? What is it speaking of? I remember some time ago I preached a message called the third angel message. And I took those three angel messages to show you that those three angels and their message has to be applied either to the Gentiles or to the Jews. It can't be applied nowhere because the whole world population is Jews or Gentiles. And God is dealing with each of them separately. Is that right? The Jews were blinded for our sake. And Israel was blinded so the Gentiles would come in. And God had been calling the people for the Gentiles for his namesake. Is that right? So, and here it is, the Gentiles have come right through those seven church ages. And we are at the end of the age now. We are the end of the seventh age. Israel is back in the homeland. They are getting ready for the last half week. Oh my, there was something struck me there recently. I was thinking when Brother Brown went into Daniel 70 weeks. He was hoping to know the day and the hour. He said, because God gives the Jews 70 weeks. He said, if I could find that inside of here to show you the day he begins, the last half of that 70th week, time will be over for the Gentiles. He said, we'll know what time it is. We can find him. He comes so close to it right inside of there. And when he went in, he still didn't get it. Because it was under those seven seals. It was sealed up in that book still. And he said, but I must take this, because when we get in them seals, we wouldn't understand nothing if I don't take down 70 weeks. Because the church got up in the 4th chapter and don't appear until the 19th chapter. And then from the 4th to the 19th chapter, he's dealing with the Jews. Church is in glory. Amen. And how that baffles so many people with intellectual mind, because they say, but look, Revelation 10, the church here. How could that be for the Jews? Look, Revelation 14, the church here. Look, Revelation 18, the church here. See? Look, Revelation, 10, the church is there. How could that be? Oh, and the untrained mind couldn't understand. You see, God injected those things between the 4th and the 19th chapter because he wanted to show that all those things that is written in the 4th to the 19th chapter is not going to just happen down in the last half of the 70th week. It's already moving up right now. There's nothing new going to come. It's the same spirits right now that is in the earth. It's just going to come to its head in that hour. Exactly right. The world state where the man of sin going to be ruling over in the last half of the 70th week is all being brought together now. Where the Satan will worship, there is all going on right now in a measure. Sure. That's what he's calling people out of. That's what he's waking up people out of. To realize you're the denomination. You are actually in false worship. You're in a false system. You're in something that is contrary to the plan of God, and there's no salvation inside of it.
It might bring a feeling. It might make you feel good. You might manifest a spiritual gift or something inside it. But there is no salvation within the walls of denomination. And God had to open that up to call us out. Why? Because the hour of that judgment had arrived. Now watch. For the next few moments, maybe I can hit these three angel messages and bring to a climax. Because if we can see those three angel messages, when that hour of judgment has come, the first angel message showed the hour of judgment is come. And how we should worship Him who created heaven and earth. But the third angel message dealt with the false worshippers. And it dealt with the judgment, the wrath of God that was being poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. Let me tell you, one of these days, people will pray and pray sincerely. People will cry and plead with all that they have inside of them. But the Bible said, God said, let not your eyes spare pity. People are going to pray right prayers. They're going to be structured right. They're going to approach God. They're going to use all the keywords and everything else. But it won't work. People are going to try to invoke healing when disease and pestilence is going to come upon them. But they won't be able to shake it off. People are going to wake up and realize medicine don't heal. People are going to seek the Holy Ghost and have all night prayer meetings. And they will not be filled. For there will be no Holy Spirit to be poured out. That is why, when that hour comes, if that hour could be revealed, if that hour could be identified to us and be made plain to us, and we see it, and we recognize the day that we are living in, it should make us focus so much into it that there will be nothing else we will try to overvalue and make so important that we can restructure our lives. Because whatever we try to make important, it will fade away in the sight of those things when the wrath of God begins to be poured out. So, I wish I could bring this in a more real way. God knows. In a way that it would cause man and woman to go to praying and seeking God and lining up and pushing aside everything so far back and wanting to walk so close. Because if I could put it down in days and hours and months, how close we are. But there's no way I can do it. But I can show you the scripture, and I can show you the thing that happened. I can show you where it fit in the Bible. Even down to the present Gulf crisis and these things, where those things fit in the Bible, what does that mean? And how it affects us, and what is happening here, how it relates to those things, and how the plan of God, what is happening, that is in direct continuity to when the war stopped. And God says, hold them winds until I seal them. And them winds can't be loose. That war cannot break out. To destroy this earth until every legacy. That war cannot break out and throw this hole in chaos until this bride is sealed and leave. You say, making a strong statement? No. So strong is God's promise. So strong is God's love. Don't touch them until that last one is sealed. But when they are those who sit sealed, that mark in their forehead, and they see, like when they begin to see the hour of His judgment come, and they begin to see that those who had refused His name, and those who had beat people and said, don't preach in His name, but them who were sealed with that name in their forehead, when they look and they saw those things rising, they knew what the hour of his judgment had come, and his wrath was going to be poured upon them whom he had told, in vain do these worship me. You are of your father the devil. Is that right? They had belonged to a system that joined with the Roman power. All the churches got together and they came under the headship of the Roman power. And here was the beast back there. Back there in Jesus' time. And here was that false worship. And here they was fixing to be destroyed. And here on the other side, you had the elect of God who was sealed and knew that judgment was coming in. They knew that the hour of his judgment had arrived. Because Jesus told them, let not your flight be in winter. You want to read that with me? Read that with me. Come quickly. Turn with me to Luke 19. Read a few to Luke. I'm giving you a type to see, because many times prophecy is very difficult to catch if you don't get a type. So I'm giving you a little type here to watch how, when the hour of his judgment comes, when it's going to begin in the house of God, how he had went for to seal them and he couldn't loose them, angels and slaughtering weapons, until it was all sealed up. But I want you to see where Jesus, knowing the prophecy, begin to warn them. Verse 41, Luke 19, we're going to close. We're closing out here. And if we have some people who are not a Christian here this morning, all these are the scriptures, God's word that we're reading, show how God always did those things back in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and here in the last days, it's the same God, he does not change. Look at that, Luke 19, verse 41. And when he was come nigh, he beheld his city, there's Jesus, coming to the end of his ministry. And he wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Watch this. He's telling them here, the enemy is going to come, dig a trench around them, will come pass round about them and keep them in, and will lay down even the lady, even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and thou shalt leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the day of visitation. Luke 21. He was seeing how the church world had rejected the message. They were blinded, they couldn't see. That was the scripture being fulfilled. That was the message of the hour. He was trying to call out a little group. Yet they couldn't see it. And now he began to put judgment upon the nation. Because he knew in Ezekiel 9, it was prophesied in that vision that Jerusalem would be destroyed. And Luke 21, verse 20, here I'm preaching again. And when you shall see Jerusalem, notice that destruction was to Jerusalem, come pass with armies, then know that its desolation is nigh. In Ezekiel 9, it called them slaughtered angels with slaughtered weapons. Over here, it's calling them armies, but it's the same thing. Now it's unfolding to us how it comes in the political realm. That's what I'm trying to show you how these things come in. But in the spiritual realm, the sealed angel was. Then let them who are in the Judea flee to the mountains, and let them who are in the midst of it depart, and let not them that are in the countries enter into it, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. He is basing that upon the prophetic word, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. He was reading out of the Bible and he was placing it in that hour. That's what I'm doing. I'm saying here, out of Revelation 14, I'm placing that in this very hour. Because after Revelation 14, the third judgment was Armageddon. And Armageddon, the third woe. But all these things I'm saying, this is not the third woe. The third woe is under the seventh trumpet. We still between the second and seventh trumpet. Amen. But woe unto them that are with child. Mothers with the babies. You be a mother of a Shunammite woman. If you have a dead baby, you can believe God to raise it back up. Be a mother with that baby. If you have a starving baby, like that widow with a meal, you could have faith to sacrifice to the word of Elijah and see you and your son live. Amen. Watch. He bring it to mothers with babies. In those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. Jesus is putting upon the Jews in Jerusalem right there. Ezekiel 9, you see. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword. Notice that. That is not this last days. That was that time. Because in these days, it's atomic weapons. Back there, under the edge of the sword, when Titus came. And shall be led away captive into all nations. Today, they are gathered back in their homeland. Notice that. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And St. Luke 23, verse 26. Verse 27, Luke 23, verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, who also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, watch it here. He's rejected. He's going to his public crucifixion now. Weep not for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which you shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do this thing in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Notice, and that also applies to this last day. For Revelation 6, under that sixth seal, they begin to cry to the rocks and the mountains. When they begin to see the wrath, behold, the day of the Lamb, and his wrath is come. Who is able to stand? But look at Jesus, seeing that those slaughtering angels had to be loosed according to the prophecy, and knowing that they are going to come, and he begins in his prophecy, he begins to show the development. He said they're going to come past Jerusalem. In one place, they're going to dig down the ditches around you. They're going to set you in another place. They're going to come inside. They're going to start to destroy the temple, not leave one stone upon it. In another place, he speaks to the disciples, but you, don't be caught inside of there. In another place, he speaks to those who are just caught in an emotional tantrum, not identifying with him, but kind of following and crying. He said, don't weep for me, weep for your own self. But they were going to be caught inside of it. Is that right? And watch and see, because of his prophetic vision that he had of that hour, he saw what was coming, and he began to preach that prophecy to show them that things is going to happen. How those churches who was there being united together with the state to reject him was one day going to be destroyed. And when the judgment started, it was going to begin right in the sanctuary. And Peter and them right in here for the last days. He said, but the time is going to come to when that judgment will begin at the house of God. He said, when it begins at the house of God, what will the end be then of them who obey not the gospel? Because the righteous scarcely be saved. If God move out there and have to stop them slaughtering angels, otherwise they'll destroy the whole earth. To get the righteous. If God didn't stop them, everybody would perish inside of there. But in moving there and stop them and begin to seal up those elected ones. He said, tell me where the sinner
and the ungodly would appear. Because when that judgment begin to be poured out, it was being poured out upon them that didn't have the seal of the living God. They had another name written before him. They didn't know who they worshipped, like Jesus told him on the well. He said, you don't know who you worship. Now we know those three angel messages. The first angel, the second angel, and the third angel message were the last three angel messages. You say, how do you know that? How are you so sure? Because it has to be applied either to the Gentiles or to the Jews. And it can't be applied to the Jews because the Jews only have half week remain. 69 and a half weeks that have been promised have already been fulfilled. They only have a half week remain. And in that half week they are promised two prophets. Not three angels. And God never did commit the gospel to preach to angels. The gospel is coming to man to preach. Those angels were symbolic. Speaking. Now if it can't be applied to Jews, it must be applied to the Gentiles. And since we are at the end of the seventh age, and all seven messengers have come, then those angels have already sung the message. Because there is no more messenger promised to Gentiles after the seventh angel message. Is that right? So then those three angels have already sung it. And that third angel message was to preach against the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, and the beast. And there was no image of the beast until after World War II. Because that image of the beast came up where that lamb came out of the earth. Is that right? Revelation 13? The lamb came out of the earth and then they made an image unto the first beast. That lamb represents religion. Should not one day you're going to come to a religion that's going to give the full support, confederated religion, going to give the full support to the beast. An image is like something unto it. It's going to be like unto the beast. And that lamb didn't come out of the earth until 1776. When America, because it speaks of America in prophecy, America is found in the 13th chapter of Revelation, because she started there historically when they fled Europe for the New World, and they started there in 1776 for that independence. They started with 13 colonies, they had 13 stars, 13 stripes, and they even appear in the 13th chapter of Revelation, showing where that power, beast in the Bible represents power, comes out of the earth. All the other beasts came out of the sea. And sea meant multitudes of peoples. Which was Europe. Which is the then known world. See? So it means to say, it will have to be, that third angel message would have to be after 1776. And the third angel message came after the first two angel messages. Is that right? And it was not until 1948 after World War II that then the Protestant church is going to come together in the ecumenical movement, Pope John XXIII, and say that we all may be one. Until that time, there was no ecumenical move. The ecumenical move started when Pope John XXIII, after World War II, said we all may be one. So that means that third angel message will have to be somewhere after 1948. It cannot be before. Because how can it be before and be preaching about something that never existed? It would have to preach against, warn you against the mark of the beast. You have to warn against the image of the beast. You have to reveal the number of his name. You have to reveal what the wrath of God is to be poured upon these things. And that messenger, that seventh angel messenger, went out after World War II. The same day that Israel became a nation. And when that flag rose in May 1946, he was sent out. So we know that third angel message had to be after World War II. So that third angel message is after World War II. Then the third angel was the last angel on the Gentile side, because the first four ages was mostly Jewish. And in the Reformation, when it started on the Gentile side, there was the last three angels was Luther, Wesley, and the Malachi IV, the last angel. That third angel. Now what's something? Now when those three angel messages go out, it was going to reveal the hour of his judgment is come. Then it was going to reveal Babylon is fallen. And then it's going to reveal what the mark of the beast is. How those people have been marked in their foreheads. And how the real bride is being sealed in their foreheads. Because the book of Revelation shows that the whole world is sealed in the forehead. Those who are sealed, who have his name in his forehead, and those who have the mark of the beast. The whole world will come down to those two things, the seal of God and the mark of the beast. And when his wrath is being poured out, it's being poured out upon those who don't have the seal of God. Those who was not marked. Then it means to say, there is a time when that sealing, I would say, is going to come to an end. And when that sealing comes to an end, is then his wrath is fixing the portal. Then what time are we living in? Because later on we're going to try to pick up and show, we don't have any time this morning, I'm closing here. Where the hour had come. The hour of his judgment had come. The investigation judgment went forth. And under that investigation judgment, there were some people who was acquitted. Totally acquitted. Where there was no condemnation, they were set free. And the rest was found guilty. Because God will not pour his wrath until they were found guilty. Then you have to know, my friend, if you was warned or was acquitted, was set free. Because when that Jubilee song, you could go free. And those that did not go free was going to be marked also. You watch and see how those things are going to come out, because the first thing is coming that hour, then the investigation, and then he pours out his wrath after the investigation. But in that investigation, he acquits some. He finds them who will not come into condemnation. They will pass from death unto life. There is now no condemnation. Who the Son of Man is set free is free indeed. There'll be no way they could be here when those slaughtered angels are loosed upon this earth. And what is them angels holding Sodom, holding Bush, holding them winds that they cannot blow? They'll hold them right there. Not one can move. Same way they held back Stalin and them, Hitler and them back there, and they stopped that one World War II. Same way they held back Kaiser Wilhelm, General Allenby and them in World War I, and they hold them back. Exactly right. They are still holding. But this time, when they let loose, again, it's going to destroy the whole earth. This time, it's going to destroy the whole earth. And when you see those things moving in the air, let me tell you, it tells you it's time to put on your running shoes. My brother, if you're not a Christian, don't take things for granted. Don't say, I'm there, and then you're not living up to the word. No, sir. Them that obey not. When he comes with his angels being revealed in a flaming fire to take vengeance upon them that obey not the gospel. My friend, when will he begin in the house of God in this day? When he comes like that, what will the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Bible says he will reveal from heaven with fire, taking eternal vengeance upon them. And in that hour, his name that's written in their foreheads will be glorified and be admired all of them that believe. Is that right? Sure.
Look into the idea. Both of them, two groups, one with his name and the other group. And Paul goes on in 2 Thessalonians 2, I don't read, but you read when you go home. He said the mystery of iniquity is already at work. And because they didn't have the love for the truth, they didn't believe the truth, God gave them a strong delusion. And his wrath was going to be poured upon them. But the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. What will the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Is his love coming out to you, telling you, obey his word? If you obey my word, if God enforces the commandments, it is by his love that brings the obedience to his word. When you see people, you know, fail to move out there and catch God's love coming to them, and still caught up in their pleasures of this world, you know, my friend, something is passing right through you and you don't recognize it. And Jesus said, don't wait for me. They saw him all bungled. They thought he was free. And they saw him, you know, going to die under capital punishment when the church and state had come together to publicly crucify him. And they said a cry because they thought there was a more fortunate situation. And he said, no, don't weep for me. He said, weep for yourself. Because if you understood what went through here these last few years, and where we are at the end of the message now, he said, them sleeping saints are going to come up. He said, you'll be weeping for me. You will know we are at the end of the message here now. Rejection and this, what went through here all these years, as I hand that gather brood and I was trying to woo you. He said, you didn't know the day of visitation. He said, you weep for yourself. And it's coming in, friends. We see it. This nation is boiling. This nation is falling apart in the seams. And we have many more days of social unrest to see. And we have times of hunger and famine to experience. You watch and see. You mark these words this morning. You listen to these things that have been spoken over this pulpit over these years to you, to let you see where it's coming. Because remember, this is just a little pebble on the shore. Trinidad is nothing when you come to the nation, to the world. We have no, our voice means nothing as a nation. We have to just fall in line and go along with the bigger nations. Because the world that is being reshaped, nations like us cannot exist if we don't toe the line. But our God is not the God of politics. God had you to work and raise your children and send them to school in the institutions right here in this nation, as believers around the world had to do, for a testimony, for a standard, for a witness. But it was God who fed you over the years. It was God who clothed you. It was God who healed you. He might send you to the hospital there to get some of the medicine, but it was God who healed you anyhow. He might make you go to the paymaster and take the paycheck, but it was God who provided for you and supply your needs. And it will become more real to you one day when you don't have the institutions to go to, and you will see God keep on doing it. And you're not affected because you're not tied with the systems. But if we don't have enough faith today to look and see, it is God, my friend. You know why? Because some of you want to work overtime. Some of you miss it. Some of you put everything in. And yet your money can't buy for you what you want. Your appetite could never finish. And the vacation, the joys you want to share is never satisfied. And then have those who have less and have more joy and have something you don't have.
When they meet you, they can still turn to the biggest substance and lend you and help you. Because God have a way to take it and stretch it and use it. Because they know it comes from God. And God gives them wisdom and lead them to the right bargains and provide for them and give them wisdom how to use it. And they see God's leadership. And it don't end when they get the pay and trust in what the money can do. They see how God can take it and use it. They can see they can work temporary and send 4 or 5 children to school with school books and everything else without begging and complaining, without murmuring, because they know God who is a provider. Those are the ones that when that time comes, because they knew by experience all along, will say, God, you was the one who met that need and you're still the same God today. They would be hoping something happened. They will know that God have trained them and prepared them. And those things wasn't unfortunate experiences. Wasn't God leading them to poverty and not blessing them. It was God training them. That when the hour come, like he told the Simona church, you are poor, but yet you're rich. They was rich in faith. Because they knew God who was rich in mercy. Is that right? Now, we want to have prayer meeting on Friday. We're going to begin prayer meeting on Friday with the lifting of the curfew. And it's going to be 6:30 p.m. And then we're going to have our service normal on Sunday again. Many of the saints were telling me that they had appreciated the afternoon service, and they find they were able to get along so much better and with the afternoon service. I don't know if maybe we can in the future do that too to help out in some way, but we're going to see as time goes by. But what we're going to be doing from next week is that we're going to be having a Wednesday service here. We have no Thursday service. No Wednesday service in South. The midweek service will be here on Wednesday. Now the reason I'm doing that is that we don't want to retard progress with the building. We are trying to close in and put a lot of emphasis on getting the building finished. And we are trying to keep going to go. We have service there. Work service. Work service at the building. That type of service. Here we have sit and preach service. But we in service there too. And for the brothers who work there, we are hoping that we have we're going to have a prayer room up there, the conference room we're going to use, the burning side. So we're not going to be bothered about you coming up here for prayer meeting or going to have a prayer meeting. If we have work going on, we can have the room there, open up a prayer, and the brothers could leave the job and go and pray and come back and work after. Whether 2 want to go and 3 want to go and pray, and we keep in prayer. In the prayer meeting up there, we have that room there the same way. We have it nice, quiet, where we pray. And so we can do all that we have to do. And it would avoid us, it would give us the break between Wednesday and Friday, rather than coming Wednesday and coming Thursday and then coming Friday and coming back Sunday. And then we don't have time with the building to put that emphasis. So we reached too far to be sacrificing that now, and we want to keep that on schedule. So know that when with the working committee up there, prayer meeting would be up there also. So we have 3 places of prayer, which is Abel Country here and San Fernando. 6:30 until about 8:45 service would be over. So you'll be able to have 2 hours and a quarter at least to get on your way back home. Wednesday we hope to do the same here. Start at 6:30 and get out maybe 8:45. So you have 2 1/4 hours at least to get out. So we try to do that. Now that the curfew has been lifted, that we can try to get in another service. But we would not be having none this Wednesday. We'd start Friday with prayer service. So please know that our prayer service, we are looking forward to the time when we bring the one service where we need be, and we already have set up a new administration as regards prayer service, and prayer service is for one and all. We have special service in the morning, Sunday morning, for the children in Sunday school. We have special service for the adults Sunday morning here. We have special service Wednesday night for the adults and the children that would come. And we want our prayer service for one and all. Amen. Teach your little children to pray. Bring them and teach them to pray. Teach them the Bible says when that time of crisis, Jehoshaphat and all Judah get the children, they all come to the house of God and they held and begin to pray. So you bring your children to the house of God and you pray with them and you let us all do that, and we have the place full like this on prayer meeting night when we can get everybody together in one place. But for the time being, we as quickly as we can get that building where we can begin to have one service, which is the prayer service, workable, we're going to decide to do that. But until then, until that is announced, we're going to have that prayer service here, Abel Country, and San Fernando, 6:30 p.m. to 8:45 on Fridays. Is that under clear, sir? Amen. So we certainly appreciate that, and we trust that we'll see you out Friday. And then remember, I know some of you may have it might be a little rush with a change of schedule, so that's why I leave out this Wednesday and say no service this Wednesday, to give you time to get back readjusted and get your schedule together, that if you'd have to come out Wednesday from now on, our Wednesday service or our midweek service would be here 6:30 p.m. Not 7, 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays right here. Amen? You love him? Oh my, let's just worship a little bit, sing a couple of songs and worship him. We are ready to leave the building. If there's one that wants to accept him to be a Christian, one who in their heart they feel the urgency of the hour, this is the time to get your house in order. When God was going to bring judgment upon Hezekiah, he told him, get your house in order. When God is going to bring judgment upon this world, he told us all to get our lives in order. And right here in this assembly, God shows us to get our homes, our lives, and this church in order. Because in that day, we don't want to be found wanting. We've been here maybe about 4 hours since this morning before the song service. Now we're getting ready to go home. And we sat and we listened to a lot of different things. Some of it, us, we know it. Some of us, we don't know it. Some of us, not begin to understand it. Some of us, it's the first time we're hearing it. But it's all true. In God's word. And not only that, it's true. When we hear it, we can either see ourselves, we already see, just waiting for the chariot to swing low. Some of us, we really need a real experience with God to know we have really passed from death unto life. Some of us, God has done a work in our hearts, but we find something still there missing. We can only live for ourselves at present with what we have. I could hardly get by with it. We look at our lives, we're not living for nobody. We look at the cause of the gospel. It's not no concern to us. But each and every one of us this morning, before we leave this building, when we walk back through that door and go out to our homes, I want to leave this upon your heart.
I want to present that upon you. That God is looking right now for them that sign cry. He's interested in delivering them and saving them. I know a lot of people take the idea. But all they have to point to is a good thought. The word operating in and through us. The word in us fulfilling God's program for this hour. The word in us strengthening one another. The word in us seeing the body fitly joined, compact together. By our presence here, by our contribution here, by we being an alive, quickened member here, seeing the body of Christ on the earth, working, fulfilling the purpose that God made the church for. That is what we all want to see, my friend. And as late as it might be, as close as it might be, as scary an hour that we might see, of the things that is there in the region round about, upon the face of the earth, it still don't mean it's too late. That if you have a hunger in your heart this morning, that God is mindful. I look back in the Bible and see, when he was on his way to Jerusalem, the cry of one blind, poor, insignificant beggar made him stand still. Blind Bartimaeus had such faith to stop the Creator. Many of us want faith to stop the Son today. But the promise of which was greater to stop the S-O-N or to stop the S-U-N. He says it's easier to stop the soul of Son than to stop the Son of God. And his faith stopped Jesus about it, and Jesus stood still. And turn around and look at that man, blind, poor. But he had a need. He's no different today, my friend. He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. This very moment, your needs to supply. Why would it be good to preach a message? See, I like that message. You know, I have a lot of things to go and study when I go home. Oh, I see so much books I want to read now. You know, it really got clear to me. Oh, I wish, you know, the service and stuff could go on. It's not just to educate you, my friend. The God I'm speaking about, the angel I'm speaking about, is right here. To move upon your life this morning, and you'll walk out of this service different than when you came in. God, not in the sky somewhere, among his people, moving through, looking to find one who is coming to my heart. Lord, pass me that, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, Lord. Come into my heart. Come in today, Lord. Come in this day. Let me know I'm one of yours. Do that for me, Lord, which no one else can do for me. I don't want to go back home the same way. I want to meet you right in this ground here today, Lord. Something in my heart tells me I can reach out. That you can see down into my heart. And if I can find favor and grace in your sight, all my problems, all my situations can vanish away. And Lord, even though they vanish away, you can do something in my heart for me to be able to carry their burdens and not be frustrated and thinking I'm so unfortunate. But I'm going to have something I can rise up and really live for you in this hour and be what a real Christian ought to be. Oh, my Lord, bow our heads and close our eyes. Let us sing softly. Reach out and touch the Lord before we pray.
reach out and touch the Lord as He
is. Not psychology, friends. Just believe in your heart while you're sitting in your seat. You will find He's not too busy today to hear your heart's cry. I challenge you to believe that. He is passing by this moment, this very moment. Your needs to supply.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
You sat in your seat, you saw me and you heard me preach His word. Now reach out and touch Him, the one I was speaking about.
Out and touch the Lord.
Have faith in God now before we pray. And you believe Him. I feel He wants to do something for us. I believe this is His word. I believe it's timely to the hour. I believe it's identifying to us the present working of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the call out people. I believe it's showing us judgment is at hand. God wants to deliver us before one fire can be poured out upon this earth.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
Give us faith, Father, to reach out, to believe, and to touch You. Oh, got any rivers?
Got any rivers? You think are uncrossable.
What about mountains? You got any?
Got any mountains?
No matter how high they may be,
you can't tunnel through.
Oh, let me point you to a God who specializes.
God specializes.
The only wise God, our Lord Jesus.
Things thought impossible.
There is nothing impossible with Him.
And He can do.
Just trust Him and see it.
What no other power can do.
Oh, one more time.
Not any rivers.
What about you, stranger? What about you, sinner?
You think
What about you, backslider? And you, lukewarm believer?
Not any mountains.
Oh, saint of God, be reminded. He's all powerful.
Unheal true.
Don't you know our God specializes?
God specializes in.
Oh, cast down them reasonings. Cast aside the mind battles.
And do
just believe it and see
what no other power can do.
Is there a special request? If you feel your faith has risen, if you feel the nearness of His presence, and you believe that through the preaching of His word, and faith come by hearing, hearing by His word, You are breaking through them veils. And He's so close to you now, you believe you can have what you have need of. You believe God will hear and answer prayer right now. And you want to be remembered. Why don't you show by lifting your hand? Say, Lord, remember me. Remember me, Lord. I know you're here. You specialize in things. Amen. God sees those hands. God bless you. You are a believer. You have faith. You lift your hand to signify that you know He's near. Then let us who know that unite our faith. And let it be that blanket of faith stretch across this congregation. An atmosphere that will surround everyone. All in the mother's room. In the rooms in the back. All standing around the building. All on the outside here. The power of the Holy Ghost will just surge through this place. Whether it be that someone wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Someone needs a brand new touch, a refilling. Someone needs strength. Someone needs healing. Someone needs deliverance. Oh my God. Some of you that you can't pray, you can't read God's word. Some of you no power to witness. Some of you find yourself so beaten down and tired up, it just seems like there is no victory. My friend, you can have all of that right now. It's not a tomorrow thing. It's a now thing. God who specializes. Now it's exercise and time, children. Now it's education time, it's exercise and time in the world. What we know, what we have believed, what we have worked in, what we know to be true. That we can see our God manifest these things as we call upon Him, as we have need of it. It's under these auspices I'm asking you to unite your faith and believe. And touch Him. And touch Him. And touch Him! We are believing now, Father. We are casting aside all unbelief, all pride, all shame. And we are even claiming those who may have the desire but haven't got the faith and are not trained in the wiles of the enemy to know the deceit of the enemy and not be hindered from being able to reach out even now to what is available to us right now, present here, Lord. We are believing for them also. Whether it be stranger, visitor, backslider, Almighty God is believers who have been called out, separated, washed, sealed in our foreheads with a revelation in our hearts of whom we believe in and are persuaded that He's able to keep that which we commit unto Him even against that day, knowing if we agree together according to Your divine promise, Father, we have what we ask. Is that Your word, Lord? Isn't it proper and right for us to advance forward rather than live in bondage and under our God-given privilege? Isn't it proper for us to recognize our position and see what You have done for us and what You made us? Not what we would struggle or try to be in our own righteousness, but through confession and through faith, God, godly sincerity, we can have what we ask. Isn't that what You taught us? Isn't that how You are expecting of us to come, Father? then dear Lord, that is how we stand. And upon that throne we stand, Lord. We come against every force of darkness, every devil, all the powers of that evil one who's trying to hold sons and daughters of God in darkness, in ignorance, in defeat, in bondage, in confusion, making them live below the God-given privileges, Lord. Making them fearful and afraid to exercise. Making them think the promises are far off somewhere. Trying to blind them from what you're doing, Lord. Making them feel so negative they can't rise with the positive. We come against all these evil spirits. And we rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. We expose the devil this morning. Who have tried to work in deceit. Hold them in this bondage. We declare that his power is broken. We declare that he's exposed. We declare that his intent is evil. And we declare he can only bluff them. He has no real God given power to hold them there. Because he was stripped of all power. When you broke that power, you crushed his head on Calvary's cross. And when you rose for our justification and sent back the Holy Spirit to mark us in our forehead and seal us in your name, now whatsoever we ask in that name, we shall have it. And yet, God, that is where we are standing today, Father. Thanking you, Jesus, that you've done this for us by your amazing grace. And we come against that devil and his forces of darkness. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise him and thank him for it. Recognize that where we stand today and what is given unto us. May the power of revelation, may the spirit of faith move in the hearts of these, Father. May they see it, may they understand it. May the Holy Ghost so move and write that in their hearts and make that so real. And may the spirit so quick their minds to that realization that them who are even believing on behalf of the loved ones, them who are standing here, Lord. Lord God, when they leave this place today, they will leave with a victory. They will leave with assurance. They will leave with confidence. They will leave knowing the devil has no power over them. They will leave knowing your will, Father, that you have visited us today, that you have worked in our midst, that you have come at the end of this service, even to give witness and testimony that this is your bride. They are sealed with your seal, that these promises belong to them, that the devil cannot hold them. Oh God, may there not be one but leave with that realization in their hearts today. Hallelujah! We claim that today on the basis of your divine promise and your finished work at Calvary. Oh God, and the ever-present Holy Spirit now present, inspiring that to us that we should not go home without first taking our stand with these things. And Father, that is where we stand. I pray it don't bypass not one. I pray it don't catch not one lapse in there, Lord. But Lord God, they will see and know this is not play, this is not church, this is not something nice, but this is you present here. It is your inspiration, it is your revelation, it is your divine authority. It's upon the basis of what you have done and come back in these last days, and it's not me saying that unto us that we shall not live under our God-given privileges, but we should step forward with the word of promise. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. God, I loose your people. They said, whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. May they be loose. And may the Holy Ghost so work and continue to work in their hearts that the devil will not be able to march in and make a second claim or bind them in any way. But they will know that you have set them free. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Lift your hands and praise. And amen. Give glory and honor unto our King. Hallelujah. Glory and praise be unto your name, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Not by might, by power, but by his spirit. Glory be to God in the highest. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, Savior. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. May the Spirit of God with wings of faith lift up the feeble, raise them up, Lord, in that sphere. Raise them up in that realm. Raise them up, Lord, beyond the unbelief, beyond the fear, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my friends, I believe by the authority of God's word, by the authority of the divine revelation of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, amen, being present in our midst to do that for us, that we can see and recognize it is His grace to us that believe. He gave us grace to believe and to recognize His divine presence. Know that in your heart, friends. Don't let that happen. Be repeated over and over and over and over. See it. Move into it. Move into it. Move into it. Receive it. Thank Him for it. Plant your stake down. And say, this day. Say, this day. Amen. I am not going to be the same. I may have lived halfway. I may have rise and fall. I may have made mistakes back and forth. But no more. By the amazing grace of God, I'm determined to press this battle with greater determination. Because I believe the time is at hand. I know one day will be the last. Because it will all be over. And destruction like never before. This sin-cursed world will rock and reel and shake, my friend. Until everything that can be shaken will be shaken down. But you have a kingdom that cannot be removed. And for the strangers and visitors, I say, we only have service this long because we have service once a week right now. Don't feel bad. Don't let it keep you away. Come again. Be baptized in His name. Make a real stand for His word. Know you have heard God's truth today. May God, in His divine grace, make His word so real in your heart. It will not be a myth. It will not be some theology. But you will know He wants to walk in you. He wants to live in you. He wants to be the center of your life. What an opportunity that you and God could become one. You will have that fellowship. Don't think that is strange. Don't think that is too far or impossible, my friend. That is what God gave to you in the beginning. That is why Jesus died. That is why He has come again. In the form of His Holy Spirit among His people, trying to woo their hearts. To bring them back into that same union. Amen. I am thine, O Lord. I am thine, O Lord. Oh, sing it. It's an old time song. It's a bloody song of His cross. It's a song of His love. It's a song of desire of wanting to walk closer. To walk closer with Him. Oh, but I long to rise, but I long to rise. I don't want to live below here. I want to long to rise in the arms of faith and be close to Thee. Oh, sing a song for me, yeah.
depths of your heart.
Here, blessed Lord.
Oh, that I may know the power of that blood. For real consecration this hour.
Consecrate me now.
Not tomorrow, now, Lord. While your presence is close, while it's moving here amongst us. Oh, let my soul look up. Grant it, Father, with all of our hearts, for a closer walk with you in this hour. For that crucified life, Lord, sprinkle us with our blood.
Draw me nearer, draw me nearer.